And here to break all of that down for us is Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio. Adam, how are you, my friend?
I'm well, Andy. How are you?
Not too bad. And, boy, a lot to digest here. And I guess we could start by taking a look at the college football games tomorrow. I want to begin with a game that we will have here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM, Ohio State taking on Michigan State. Some books had opening lines right around 17. That's gone up to 20 in most cases. Does that seem too high to you?
I think it's a real tough handicap. My personal power rating number on the game is 18.5, so kind of in between where it is now and where it opened. And look, I mean, Ohio State's been phenomenal. You know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. By all metrics, they've been great on offense. They've been great on defense. You know, last week, people thought that maybe Nebraska would give them a challenge. That wound up not being the case. Here this week, they're facing a truly elite Michigan State defense, one of the best defensive lines in the entire country. And this is kind of a preferred role for Mark D'Antonio, going into a game as a big underdog, no expectations. He's generally been pretty good in these types of spots. So, look, Ohio State could win this game by 30. Ohio State could win this game by 10. I don't think there's any way that Ohio State loses this game. But, man, it's a real hard bet to make trying to take the Buckeyes here. It would be Michigan State or nothing for me. But, again, at the same time, with Michigan State, they're not scoring a whole lot of points. So maybe if Ohio State gets into the upper 20s or low 30s, they still have a chance to cover the spread.
And that's what I think makes that line interesting to me. Boy, 20 just seems like a lot for two teams in the top 25, given all that you stated about Ohio State. Yes, I mean, they have been great in just about every conceivable form and fashion, but how much of the history between Mark D'Antonio and Ohio State, or just the history between these two institutions, comes into play here? Because it isn't very often that Sparty gets blown out. I mean, it does happen on occasion in a game like this, but when he comes in as a gigantic underdog, as you said, it just seems like that's where Michigan State is at their best in a scenario like this.
Yeah, that's certainly the case. I mean, you look at the spread and the total for this game. The spread is 20.5, as you mentioned, the total 49. So essentially what we're kind of looking at here is Ohio State 34.5-14 would be the implied score for this game based on the line that's out there. So, do you think Michigan State can get to 14? I don't really know if that's the case. And as far as the recent history goes, it doesn't factor into the construction of the line at all. It maybe factors into how people bet the game. But as far as the odds makers go, they don't worry about what happened in the past. They really only look at what's going on in the present. They'll let the bettors decide how much some of those narratives and how much some of those angles matter. And so far, based on what we've seen, they don't seem to matter too much here in the minds of a lot of people.
And we could talk college football all day, but that's one of the two marquee matchups on Saturday. Another one, a game that should get a lot of viewers for sure. Auburn taking on Florida. From a handicapping perspective, who do you like in this matchup?
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised, actually. This line's come down from Auburn -3 to Auburn -2.5. They are a road favorite here going out to Gainesville. But when you look at these two teams here, yeah, Florida's 5-0, and that's great, and kudos to them for that. They've battled through some injuries here as well. But according to Sagarin, they've played the 91st ranked schedule in college football. Auburn, meanwhile, also 5-0 with the 5th ranked schedule in college football. So I'm a little bit surprised to see this line come off of 3, especially to do it so early in the week. My personal power rating line is Auburn -4, and I like Auburn -2.5 here. I think they're just the better team all around. Bo Nix has gotten that first tough road start out of his system when they played Texas A&M. So I think Auburn's just a better team. And with Gus Malzahn calling plays, they're a much more efficient offense. And he took that over for the Music City Bowl last year against Purdue. They completely rolled up a number on Purdue. I think they scored 63 points in that game. So Auburn's a different team than what we remember from last year. And I think they can prove it here this weekend.
Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We'll turn our attention to Sunday now and take a look at a couple of games on the NFL slate. Ravens Steelers, and you detailed this in an article that you wrote earlier today, mentioning that 3.5 seems like a pretty good number in this one. You mentioned, too, that the Ravens may have been exposed a little bit in their loss at home to the Browns last week. What about the Ravens do you think really got exposed to the point where they're now only a 3.5-point favorite against the Steelers?
Yeah, I think you saw some pretty concerning things from them last week. Of course, as we know, the Browns rolled up over 500 yards. They really took advantage of spreading Baltimore's defense out, took advantage of the injuries in the secondary for Baltimore as well. And Lamar Jackson just didn't look super comfortable, missed some throws. The Browns, with their edge pressure, they were really able to contain him, keep him in the pocket. When he did take off and run, it was up the middle where there was a lot more help with the back seven there in the equation. So I think Pittsburgh has a blueprint. The problem here is that Pittsburgh does not have anywhere near the offensive talent that the Browns have. Mason Rudolph has only thrown a handful of passes, more than 10 yards downfield since he took over. I don't think Pittsburgh can spread out Baltimore the way that Cleveland was able to. I don't think Pittsburgh's defense can contain Lamar Jackson as well as the Browns did. So I actually do like Baltimore here this weekend as a 3.5-point favorite. And I'm kind of hoping this line comes down a little bit with some people thinking along the same lines as I was, that maybe some of the holes with this Baltimore team were exposed. The problem is I don't think Pittsburgh can exploit them the way that Cleveland did.
We'll take a look at one more NFL matchup before we turn our attention to the Browns and 49ers on Monday night. Falcons at Texans. Some books opened up with the Texans as 4-point favorites. Do you like that number in this matchup?
This game has given me fits all week because I want to like Houston. I want to trust the Houston Texans here because the Falcons have 5 sacks on the season. They don't have any pass rush, and we know that the biggest weakness for the Houston offense is that offensive line. Deshaun Watson takes a beating. When Deshaun Watson's not laying on his back, he's pretty good at throwing the football. And the Falcons really can't get to him. That being said, this line was 5 throughout most of the week, and today it's come back down to 4. So somebody out there with some influence does like Atlanta a little bit in this spot. I think Atlanta's, I don't want to say they've quit on the season, but the writing is on the wall for Dan Quinn, which would obviously mean a complete reset with the coordinators probably as well. So I do like the Texans a little bit here in this one, but again, the line move just, a little bit of a head scratcher. And also, too, I don't know if Bill O'Brien's a coach you can trust because his decision-making process rarely makes a whole lot of sense. And there are a lot of guys in the NFL like that at this time of the year where some of their teams are just really hard to bet on.
And then we head into Monday night, the Browns and the Niners in San Francisco. Niners, 3.5-point favorites at home in this game. Not a huge surprise given all that's transpired throughout this week, although the Browns got some good news earlier today. Jarvis Landry should be okay to rock and roll. What are your thoughts on Monday? You think 3.5's a good number here?
Well, the market didn't think so because this line moved up to -4 earlier in the day, and I was actually a little bit surprised to see it move that quickly because you kind of have the public very split on this game. They're not sure who they want to take. All they know is they want to take the over here in this one, which does make some sense. But this is a hard game for me because you've got the 49ers coming off of a bye. You've got the Browns who have already played a tough schedule, making that long trip back out to California. They've already had a couple of trips here so far this year. They've played some short week games and stuff like that. So I don't really love the spot for Cleveland and San Francisco, certainly refreshed coming off the bye. But you've got to feel like the Browns figured something out last week. A lot more 12 personnel. They played some of their bigger packages. They threw out of bigger packages. They were less predictable because they went 3 wide a lot less than they had in other games this season. So I think both coaches have a lot to figure out here. I love Kyle Shanahan. I think he's a brilliant offensive mind. The 49ers pass rush, it's not on Cleveland's level, but it's still pretty good. I'd have to look San Francisco here. Liked it more at the 3.5 mark. It'll probably come back down to that, but it should be a real good game either way on Monday night.
Well, with that, my friend, we take things back to the Diamond. Boy, the postseason in baseball, one of my favorite things to watch, and we have 4 great matchups to watch throughout the day today. Handicapping the American League Divisional Series games tonight and the National League Divisional Series games as well. Who do you like in these games?
Well, I will say this. With Houston up 4-0 against Tampa Bay, this is a game Tampa Bay had to have with Tyler Glasnow on the mound because of Houston's right-handed heavy lineup. So even though it's just game one, if Houston finishes this one off, I think that series is over. It was probably over before it started anyway, but especially so now. The Twins and Yankees is fascinating because you've got 2 very lackluster starting rotations here. The Yankees bullpen very good. The Twins bullpen pretty good. But both of these teams have excellent offenses. And one of the knocks against the Twins, as it was a knock against the Indians last year, is beating up on bad teams. And the Twins do have some pretty significant splits when they play teams 500 or better against when they play teams with a losing record. So that worries me a little bit for Minnesota here in this series. I think the Yankees do advance. I think the Yankees probably do win today, especially with Jose Berríos really struggling down the stretch. As far as the NLCS series or the NLDS series go, St. Louis, huge win in game one. Now you turn to Jack Flaherty, who was phenomenal in the second half. I think that series is probably in pretty good shape here for St. Louis. And if they win tonight, that series will be over in three or four. And the Nationals, just they don't have enough to compete with the Dodgers. So I think the Dodgers, it's all a matter of if they win that series in three games or four. Not a whole lot of surprises here in the division series. Very, very chalky, not just in this round, but I think overall with Houston over the Dodgers when it's all said and done.
Yeah, going to be interesting to see how the rest of this one plays out in Houston. But as you mentioned, Astros up 4-0 now, and they just wrapped up the bottom of the sixth inning. And you're right, I think if Tampa Bay can't find a way to come back in this one, I'm not sure how much life will be left for the Rays. Adam, as always, my friend, we appreciate the time. Great information, great insight as always. Have a great weekend, and we look forward to doing this again next week.
Absolutely. Take care, Andy.